You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Craig Forsyth in the studio. A busy bank holiday Monday in store as well. Five meetings in the afternoon: Cartmel, Huntingdon, Leicester, Redcar and Windsor. And more in the evening as well from over the Irish Sea with a National Hunt card at Ballinrobe. Plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kevin?
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I'm really well. Looking forward to today's racing. Yesterday was superb as well on Saturday. And, of course, tomorrow we have a very busy day, bank holiday Monday. So lots of action to get stuck into.
Certainly is. We're going to get Kevin's thoughts on four races for Monday in due course. But before we get to that, a little bit of news and a little bit of chat about yesterday or Saturday's racing. Because I want to talk to you about some of the action at Haydock in particular. Quiet Reflection, who was very impressive in the Sandy Lane Stakes. And she's got a quote of 5-1 for the, 9-2 for the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first quote from William Hill was 5-1, and she was quickly clipped in, wasn't she, into 9-2. I mean, she was searingly good yesterday. She's very, very quick filly. She posted some really good speed figures in the past, but, you know, until you put these horses up against really good horses, you never really know how good they actually are. And, you know, yesterday she was properly tested against some very good horses. Don Juan Triumphant came second there, ran a cracker for Richard Fahey, Gifted Master was beaten. And, you know, it had the look of a very solid Group 2 race, and she goes to Royal Ascot now with a huge chance, considering she gets that filly's allowance, which is, you know, she's already proved that she's better than some of the best colts around. And, you know, with her filly's allowance against her own age group, she's going to be very, very difficult to beat wherever she turns up at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, very impressive performance from Quiet Reflection. I was in the studio with you on Saturday, and you put her up before the race, and she's done you proud there with that selection, because she didn't just win, she won going away, didn't she?
Yeah, well, I mean, she had solid form. There was no reason for her not to run a big race there. I mean, you know, you could understand that she was not the favourite or not quite as short a price as Gifted Master and the likes of Burattino, but, you know, I couldn't have her there as a, she was a 9-1 shot in the morning, and a few people tipped her up, and I was surprised that she went off as big as 7-1. But yeah, you know, all of that aside, she was just very impressive on the day. She won by nearly 4 lengths. And, you know, beating the quality of horses that she did so easily was just hugely impressive.
Yeah, she looks the best of the British so far anyway, but there could be an American monster in her way, couldn't they, in the shape of Acapulco if she comes over again. And it's Quiet Reflection the most likely threat to the American Raider?
Yeah, I mean, a lot is made about the size of Acapulco, but that'll all level out a bit now. You know, she was a huge two-year-old.
Yeah.
But Quiet Reflection is a big, scopy filly. She's not a small filly by any stretch of the imagination, so I don't think Acapulco is going to be dwarfing the field this year. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, but Quiet Reflection is a very, very good horse for the home defence, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you at Haydock or with regards to Royal Ascot from the weekend?
No, I mean, you know, Home of the Brave was good, wasn't he? And Convey, who I napped yesterday, I thought was a little bit unlucky again. He's improving, isn't he, for Sir Michael Stoughton. He looks a solid group performer in the making, does Convey. He's improving nicely. I think he's high up in the betting now. I think he's probably favourite for the Royal Hunt Cup. So, yeah, I mean, he'll go to Royal Ascot with a big chance if he goes for the Royal Hunt Cup, which is a tough handicap, but he's a classy horse. Mm-hmm. So Convey would be the other one from yesterday that I'm interested to follow and keep on side.
Fair enough. Before we move on to Monday's action as well, you kindly volunteered in the office to put some selections up for the Oaks and the Derby.
I did. Well, I'm not in now until next month, so I think it would be rude of me to not chip in with a tip for the Oaks and for the Derby. In the Oaks, you know, all due respect to Minding, she was so impressive at Newmarket, but I really feel that Jim Bulger's Turret Rocks is going to run a huge, huge race in the Oaks. She finished sixth at Newmarket. She ran a blinder, but I think the further she goes, the better she's going to be. So Turret Rocks would be my selection in the Oaks. She's a filly by Fastnet Rock, and she's out of a Galileo dam. And I just think the further she goes, she's better she's going to be. She's a really, really good looking filly. And I think following in footsteps of Placecock last year, who was so good for Jim Boulder, I think Turret Rocks could be a star. So she's my pick for the Derby, for the Oaks. And for the Derby, I like Ulysses. So Michael Stout's colt was probably taking connections by surprise, but he was so impressive visually at Newbury last time out. And I think if he can turn up to Epsom in that vein of form, he's going to be right in the mix as well at a decent price.
Yeah, he's 6-1, and he has been the one that's shortened over the past week for the Derby, Ulysses. Just want to mention a couple of other things with regards to the Oaks and the Derby as well. Skiffle has been supplemented, and on the back of that has shortened into 7-1 from 12-1 for the Oaks. And reading this morning, the green light is going to be given to Red Verdon to be supplemented for the Derby. Ed Dunlop is going to supplement that one. And in a year like this, when there's going to be quite a few supplemented horses, and it's quite an open renewal of the Derby, you can see why they're doing that, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason not for, you know, if you've got an unexposed 3-year-old colt, there's no reason not to have a pop at it. I mean, Red Verdon was, you know, he was quite impressive last time out at Haydock, winning a handicap. So yeah, why not?
One more piece of news just to talk about before we get stuck into Monday. It's going back to the Royal Ascot theme, really. But it's to do with Teppin. There were a few question marks whether she would come over for Royal Ascot on Saturday. News on Sunday is that they are going to bring her over. The concerns were that she won't be able to run on Lasix or wear the nose strip that she's been wearing because of her breathing problems, but it looks like they're going to take the chance anyway, which is nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, we like to see these international horses coming over because, you know, she was so impressive in the Breeders' Cup Mile, beating the colts that day. You know, she's amassed nearly $3 million now in prize money over in America, and she'll probably go quite close to getting over the $3 million mark at Royal Ascot next month, and she's a usually exciting addition to an already top notch week.
Yep.
So yeah, looking forward to her coming over.
Yep, got all that to look forward to in a few weeks' time. Let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand, though. We're going to get stuck into Monday's racing, and we'll get Kevin's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we're going to look at the best of the action from four separate meetings on Monday. So we'll go through these in time order. We start at Redcar in the 3:25. And this one is the Zetland Gold Cup Handicap, a Class 2 event over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-olds and older in a field of 14. I suppose we could start with Winter House, who has only had the two starts, the Godolphin runner, and looks open to plenty of progress.
He does. I mean, there's a few unexposed here. It's a nice mix of unexposed horses and, you know, experienced ones. Winterhouse didn't clock a particularly good speed figure last time out, and I'm happy to leave him alone. The one I quite like, it's actually a really interesting race, this is, you know, I think Mark Johnston's Revolutionist just about sets the standards on his form this season. He's a really straightforward type. He likes to lead, but he could be vulnerable at the finish, I think. The one I like is Roger Varian Central Square. He's a really scopey son of Asamoah. He caught the eye last time out when he won at Windsor earlier this month. He looks a progressive sort who should keep getting better with age. And I think Central Square in a tricky race would be quite tough to beat. He's got a nice profile.
Central Square then, tough to beat in Kevin's opinion in the Zetland Gold Cup. Let's move on to the 3:35 at Cartmel next. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, a field of 9 to go to post here. We've got some in-form runners as well, the likes of Long Lunch, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick. Chase the Wind arrives in winning form, and Edmund, a previous winner of this race, arrives here chasing the hat-trick as well. So quite an open race, this one.
It is a tricky one for Cartmel. Cartmel is a tricky course as well, and it can pay to follow horses who have good form around here. As you said, Edmund won this race 2 years ago from a mark of 115, and he comes into the race in tremendous form for Anne Hamilton. He's £9 higher now than when he won that race, but he's obviously coming here in good nick. He's respecting, and he should go well again. Long Lunch is likely to be well fancy, could go off his favourite, and has good claims as well. But at a bigger price, I quite like the look of Morning Royalty for an each way bet. He's creeping up the weights now, but he's posted some very good speed figures recently, including when winning at Carlisle 2 starts back. He's won around Cartmel before, which is always handy, and I think he'll go well for Brian News and James Moffat. So Morning Royalty for me in the 3:35 at Cartmel.
Yeah, and Jimmy Moffat, we know he targets Cartmel as well, doesn't he, with his runners.
Does, yeah.
And he had a winner there on Saturday, didn't he? So
yeah,
Morning royalty for Kevin in the 3:35. Then let's move on to the 4:05 at Windsor next. This one is one of the Windsor Sprint Series handicaps. It's a qualifier for the final of that particular competition. It's a Class 2 event over 5 furlongs. This one's exclusively for the 3-year-olds and a field of 7 here. Which ones do you like in there, Kevin?
It's a trappy little contest, so it is. I think Lady Macabre has a good opportunity here to go well again. Drop back into handicap company, having failed to fire in a listed contest last time out. But I think the one that has the best chance of winning is the Simon Crisford trained Discreet Hero. I've said it before, Mark, I really, really respect Simon Crisford as a trainer. He's done tremendous things as a rookie trainer. He obviously spent a long time with Godolphin, but got a lot of time for what he's doing as a trainer. And his Discreet Hero, who had been running really well on the all-weather before going to York 2 weeks ago, he was quite fancied that day at York, and he spread eagle the field. He was immaculate that day, the way he travelled, the way he quickened. Really, really nice performance. He's gone up £6 for that, which is more than fair. Obviously, it's a different dynamic, a smaller field at Windsor, but I just think he's going to be very difficult to beat, Discreet Hero.
Discreet Hero, then. Difficult to beat for Kevin in the 4:05 at Windsor. And the final race we'll look at is the 4:25 at Leicester. This one is a Class 3 handicap. It's over 6 furlongs. This one's for the 3-year-olds as well. And we'll start here with Tanine, if we may, Kevin. Got off the mark in a Newmarket maiden at the back end of last season. Made his reappearance at Newbury in a listed race. So back into handicap company here, it could be quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quality affair for Leicester. It's got a few interesting sprinting prospects here. Tardif was last seen winning a good Newbury nursery for Brian Meehan last October. He makes his debut for Simon Crisford here from a mark of 91, which is interesting. A fair mark for his return. Bounce is another unexposed, making his seasonal debut for Henry Candy, another trainer you associate with good sprinters. Impressive at Kempton, was last seen in September, open to progress. But for me, the first horse you mentioned, I think this race does revolve around Tanine and how he comes on from that sixth in a listed race, which is probably a little bit hot for him last time out behind Logout Island, to be fair. But I do think he's a promising colt. Roger Varian does hold him in high regard, actually. He beat Fighting Temeraire of 2 lengths in a Newmarket maiden, which is solid form. I think a mark of 89 is exploitable when he does put it all together. So Tanine will be my selection in the race, but it is a quality race.
It is a good competitive race. Plenty of competitive racing throughout Bank Holiday Monday, but let's just have a quick summary of your selections before you go, Kevin, if you'll spin us through your 4 one more time.
Yeah, sure. In the Redcar 3:25, the Zetland Gold Cup, I'm going to stick with Central Square, unexposed for Roger Varian. The 3:35 at Cartmel, I'm going to go Morning Royalty each way. And the 4:05 at Windsor, I think Discreet Hero can follow up for Simon Crisford. And in the 4:25 at Leicester, I'm hoping that Tanine can improve on his seasonal debut.
Superb. Good work, Kevin. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. Dave Kellner, John Budden and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. Plenty to look forward to. Two national hunt meetings in the afternoon, Cartmel and Huntingdon, playing host to the jumps action. We've got racing on the flat at Leicester, Redcar and Windsor alongside that. So good action in both codes. And into the evening, more jumping, this time over the Irish Sea from Ballinrobe. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.